Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in from the heat wave of Boulder, Colorado. We've got a special guest joining us from New York City, Jess Couture, in the house. Jess, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am ready, Jules.
Awesome. So Jess was actually one of our listeners who sent me the most epic introduction video ever. And that's partially in part because she does websites. And so she is the creator of the DIY Website Academy, which teaches entrepreneurs across a wide variety of industries how to build and optimize their websites. So for all of those listeners that want help on your website or that are working with the website, which is basically about everyone, you want to make sure to pay attention to this episode. And she actually got started at the age of 12 on Neopets. But in addition to her fabulous website career, which we'll learn more about, she, at the age of 3, started dancing and got to perform in the Olympics opening ceremony at 18. So talk about being a multi-passionate and talented person. Jess, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Jules, for being here. Love the show. I guess that really sums up kind of how I started. The biggest thing was definitely when I was 12 and being introduced to this whole world of like virtual pets. And I didn't actually realize it at the time, but I was learning basic HTML coding on Neopets. And I think just seeing what I could do, entering a line of text and getting a completely different result on the page, for me, it was just so revolutionary. It was like, there's so much I can do with this. And within that, so as I was going through school, any class that had to do with computers or design, I was in it. Within my dance studio, I was making websites for every single dancer and adding in all of their choreography notes and everything. So it was always dance and web design and digital media was always a big part of my life. And then I ended up moving to Australia and I started working there. And it was interesting because up until that point, I had tested out different things. And I was doing an audition for a Broadway musical, got into the final 14. It was a national tour, and I was so sure that that was going to be my next step, that I was going to be dancing, and everything that had to do with websites was going to go to like the back burner. Ended up getting cut, and that was just a big pivotal point for me where I really had to decide that if I'm going to do this thing with websites, it has to be 110%. I need to let go of all of this kind of tipping my toe in every different angle and just go for it. And that's basically what I've been doing since.
Yeah, I love it. You know, there's a few threads here that I want to highlight. And one, holding like the multi-passionate element, because some might say that are listening like, okay, coding websites and doing dance, like very different expressions of passion. Yet like I'm also a musician and love business. And so like, I totally get it. But I know I can only imagine that moment, you know, being, I think you were 20, 21 at the time. And I think for all of us, it's a really good reminder is that sometimes it's so easy to get so set on a certain thing and wanting a particular outcome to look a certain way, that it's literally like, all right, I'm ready to leave everything if this is a yes, and then life gives you a no. And I think that for those listening, whether you're grappling with that right now or have in the past, it's like such a good reminder that the timing isn't right and something bigger you know, is opening. And I think as a testament to your story, I mean, you know, flash forward now to what you're doing, you know, with your own brand and the DIY website course, I imagine probably never would have happened had you gone on tour doing Broadway at 20 years old.
No, it was the best. Like my mom, like she's actually the reason that I'm doing an unconventional life, because she was a professional ballet dancer and she's always, anything I wanted to do, she encouraged it. But I remember her saying, she's like, don't let this be the final step. Like, you don't know why this has happened. You don't know what this is going to lead to. And it was, looking back now, one of the best things that ever happened, because everything that I'm doing now would not have manifested otherwise.
Yeah, I love it. So let's go back in time a little bit. So that's kind of like a little glimmer of who Jess Couture is, you know, 2016 today. But what was it like for you growing up? You know, single family, did you have two parents? Like, was it pretty traditional? Did you go to school? I know you're from London. Did you grow up there? Give us a little glimmer into young life.
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually born in Paris, to make things more confusing. but my mom's Canadian, and we moved there just with my mom back home to Canada. And growing up, so she was a single mom. I had my grandma, who was my biggest supporter. She'd babysit me and look after me. But the thing is that I think really the older that I get, the more I genuinely appreciate my mom and the person that she is and the person that she was. There was never a point, so I'm an only child, there was never a point in time where she doubted or made me doubt what I wanted to do, to the point where I could tell her that I wanted to be an astronaut and go dancing on the moon. And she'd be like, you know what, that is the best idea. You are going to do that and you're going to be the best dancing astronaut. And I took it for granted until as I grow up and I'm looking at all the decisions that I made and the risks that I took. I don't think that would have happened had I not had that support and seen her being a role model of living an unconventional life, being a professional dancer. So that was the biggest thing. And just everything as I was growing up, she just always supported it. And yeah, I think that was the biggest thing in why I'm doing the things that I'm doing now.
Yeah. So tell me about being in the Olympics at 18. Because, you know, that in and of itself is a huge accomplishment. And we've had a lot of athletes and Olympians on the show and all kinds of guests. But what was it like going through high school and, you know, practicing and training? And did you see that at the time, like, dancing was going to be your career path? Or tell me, like, what was going through your mind in high school?
Definitely. So, and this is for like the Olympic ceremonies in Vancouver. I was dancing competitively all throughout school. So every single day after school, I was dancing a couple of hours. And I think deep down, so even though I was doing digital media classes within school, there was that part of me, and I think you probably find this as well, being an artist, that there is always that part to go into the arts and you really just want to see what can happen with that. So when I graduated, I had done a bunch of auditions. And that was just to see if I was even cut to be a professional dancer, because there's so many people that aspire to do that. And sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you want to. So I did two auditions. The first one was actually for a tour with Princess Cruise Lines. And the second was for this, the opening ceremonies. And we did a couple of auditions. And really it was just the training that I'd done, I think, from being younger all the way up until now is what led me and got me prepared for this. And then it was just, yeah, doing the auditions. Then I found out I got both of the callbacks for both of those roles.
Yeah, which is awesome. And I think also as an artist, it's so easy to doubt yourself and your ability.
Oh
like,
my gosh, yes.
It's like, can I make the cut? Like I do it all the time. And then I like put out a video and people are like, oh, that was really good. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So
it's the best form of like, aside from entrepreneurship, being in like the arts and auditioning is the best form of personal development.
Totally. So there you are. You've just graduated high school. You've gotten both auditions and then you ended up taking both of those. And I know you worked as a dancer on Princess Cruise Lines for about 6 months. And so tell me what it was like coming back from that experience. And was it like, what's next in my dancing career? Or how did that subtle shift of like this kind of website quirky thing that you did with Neopets at 12 that you kind of did on the side, how did that start to kind of make its way more to the foreground amidst, you know, this 18-year-old Jess dancer coming back from Princess Cruise Lines?
That's a really good question. Well, after the cruise ship, so basically up until the point of finishing my cruise ship tour, it seemed like everything was happening one thing after the next. So I did the Olympics, and I found out that I was going to be touring on Princess Cruise Lines, and I was going to be working in LA. So I never had to really think about my next step. And all of a sudden, after that happened, I found myself basically in the last place that any new graduate wants to find themselves in, which was at home, my mom's house, and I had no idea what I was going to do next. And it was really difficult because I always thought that I felt like I had this purpose, and I thought that I knew what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I was faced with these new thoughts that were coming into my head and these new doubts of, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do next? And so I just thought, because I gave dance a shot, I can still dance and I can still train. I wanted to see what I could do with computers. And my mom's always encouraged me to, you know, spread out what I'm doing. You know, you don't have to focus just in one area. So I ended up moving to Toronto, got a certificate in digital media. And that's what really sparked my interest back into web design and got me much more skilled. I learned so many more things. And then I was able to move to Australia and then work within digital media from that.
Yeah. So I love that you're highlighting this, you know, like you said, what the worst place that every graduate can imagine themselves being is you come back, you graduate, and then you're back at your mom's house or whatever version. And I think for so many of our listeners, that definitely resonates. So tell me a little bit about that mental journey being there of figuring out what to even do before you made the move to say, okay, yeah, actually, I'm going to go to Toronto. I'm going to get their certificate. I'm going to go in this path. What was it like being in that in-between period before you finally made that decision? And how long did that period last? Because I know a lot of our listeners like can definitely identify with being there.
It was tough. And I know at that point, I mean, I haven't really shared this very much, but I definitely had to deal with anxiety. Oh my gosh, the most incredible episode on your show about listing out gratitude. I can't remember her name. That really, Lauren that was Andrews. An amazing, yes, that was yeah. amazing. But it was definitely a tough time because especially I think at that age, but really at any age, when you're faced with these doubts and you're not sure with what you're going to do, it's hard to make clear decisions and it's hard to really see all of the opportunities that are there. I think we get caught into this, this almost like tunnel vision where all we see is how we feel and what we don't want. So for me, it was really a case of, I just had to put my big girl pants on. I had to just be like, you know what is happening now? I just need to get past this point and just find something new. Even if it's not my purpose, even if it's not what I'm meant to be doing for the rest of my life, I just need to go from here where I'm not happy to here, which is something different. And then I can figure out the next step. And then I can take it after that.
I love that. So if someone's listening, what advice would you give if someone that's listening finds themselves in that situation right now, like one or two things that they could put into practice like today or in hearing this episode that maybe helped you in your journey?
The first thing I think would be, even if you don't know what you want to do, surround yourself with people that know that they're doing what they love and they're following their purpose, because it's like the average that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Even if they're all real estate agents, you have no desire to be doing that, but just being around people with that energy, that confidence, they know what they want to do, it will definitely rub off on you and you're going to start to think differently and you're just going to start seeing things and even different passions that you had that you might not have been aware of. And the second thing I would say is be easy on yourself. Don't fight against where you are now. Don't resist where you are. Just accept it, you know, let it sit in, like Lauren was saying, and just take it one step at a time. So know that it's okay. Like, you don't have to have everything figured out. I don't think anyone at any point has anything figured out. And it just makes it so much easier to figure out what your next step is or what you're going to do next.
Yeah, totally. Would you say today that you feel like you have it figured out?
There's days where I think I've got it figured out. And then there's days where I'm very humbled. But I think it's good. And I think that there's a really great thing, because I was really frustrated when I first started. And I think you've probably seen this in different groups that we're in. We always see the 3-month, you know, in business, making six figures, overnight success stories. And I really, that became the norm. And I expected that when I started my business, that was going to happen. And so I was really humbled when, you know, within the first couple months that wasn't happening, but I was able to learn different things to deal with bad times. And I was able to prepare myself for, you know, if I do have a big launch, I know how to handle things that are going wrong. So it's actually kind of like a blessing in disguise, I think, as well.
Totally. I know for myself, I definitely have days where I feel like the whole world is crumbling. And then fortunately, I have really great people around that are like, all right, Jules, I think you just need a day off. And yes, it's like mental reset. So tell us a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship. And, you know, I liked how you were kind of touching on this realm that it's so easy to see, like, and hear these overnight success stories and compare yourself to people. I mean, get on Facebook for just a few minutes or any kind of business group that you're in, and it can be daunting. And I know for me, it's still overwhelming. And I feel like I've done some things. And so how did you move from going, you know, getting this certificate, the Australia, that story where, you know, Broadway didn't happen, so you moved more into website. Where did you really, you know, start to develop some ground here in the realm of entrepreneurship? And how did you know you could make the cut, or what kind of education, or how did you prepare yourself?
Definitely. That's a great question. So when at the time I was working for a company and we were doing a lot of different digital media projects, and they had asked me to learn this thing called WordPress, along with taking a program called B-School, which I think you're familiar with.
Yes. Marie Forleo.
Yeah, they're such an awesome company. Shout out to Create Training. But basically, so I was going through it. They asked me to learn this thing called WordPress. And I thought that with my background in web design and computers, that it would be a breeze. So I just kind of brushed it off. And I said, don't worry, I'll teach it to myself. You know, it can't be that hard. And as most of us know, it was not as easy as I thought it was going to be. So I had to go from thinking I knew everything about making websites to starting from zero, watching YouTube videos, hours of YouTube videos, going to workshops, reading books. And finally, when I finally learned how to work with WordPress, I realized the steps aren't actually that difficult. It's just that I think with anything in life, really, but we don't know what we need to know. We tend to learn so much more and we get so overwhelmed, and that's what holds us back. So from there, I basically started to transition into being a web designer. And that's kind of the direction that I thought I was going to go in. But I was working with entrepreneurs, and the more that I would talk to them about, you know, how I could help them, what they wanted, almost every single one of them said, I'm so glad I found you. I tried doing it myself and I couldn't do it. It took me a couple of times to kind of pick up on this pattern. But eventually I was like, well, hang on a second. Almost everyone I'm working with has had this problem that I faced when I was first learning WordPress. So I just got this light bulb moment where I was like, why don't I make a course, like a really clear, easy to follow course for entrepreneurs and teach them how to do it themselves? And then from there, I just did a lot of market research. I spoke like one-on-one, did hours of interviews with people that were my potential audience. And I just asked them questions. I got to know what their language was, what words they used to describe their problems, their fears. And then I built my site, my blog posts, and then later on my course all around that. And that's kind of how I knew there was something there. And I knew that people were interested in it as well.
Yeah, I love that. So at the time that this was happening, were you still at the other job, or at which point did the transition happen from other job into full-time, you know, doing your own thing?
Definitely. So it was when I first started. So I was working with this company when I was in Australia, and I started doing this a little bit on the side. It wasn't until I moved to London, maybe it was around like 2 years later, that I really started to do it full time. And I was just consulting. And then up until maybe a year ago, this is when I was doing no more consulting, no more one-on-one, no more like web design projects. And it was really just my course and working with my students and promoting it. So that's actually a really great tip, I think, is if you can, if you have this business idea and you haven't started yet, try as much as you can to keep a job on the side until you know that a business is viable, people are interested, and they put their money where their mouth is. They're actually buying and they're, you know, helping you grow it. It just, it makes things so much easier. You don't have that stress to make things work, you can test different things out. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, I love that. So what was going through your mind when you basically created this course? Because I can imagine for the first time, you're like, okay, so I've kind of been following in B-School and I know that this kind of goes like this, but it's one thing to conceptually know. And I know a lot of our listeners, we love learning. We love education. We love, you know, whether it's YouTube, I've learned building websites on Google, like various things. So how did you manage your mind as you were taking it from conceptual into application? And yeah, what was that like?
Well, I think the biggest thing was, first, I had to accept that I had to start being a doer and not a dreamer, because the course in my head was incredible. It was just professionally filmed. I had everything done. It was just the best course in the world. And then when I actually had to take that step and start doing the work, I think a lot of us can find that in that stage where, when you actually start putting in the time, it can feel a bit overwhelming and you start to doubt if you actually want to do it. The biggest thing for me was, I told myself that I was just going to do a mini course. It wasn't going to be this full-blown idea that I wanted to do originally, just so I could get something done. And that actually ended up with me still getting my videos professionally filmed, and it just grew and grew, but it was much more attainable and for me to take action steps to actually do it. So I think just breaking everything down into bite-sized chunks makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I love that. So if you were to give a ninja trick to kind of like cut through the overwhelm that you found, or if you hindsight could look back and like, if I only knew this one little trick, you know, the shortcut, what would you say that might be here to someone listening?
I would say the first thing is focus. So work your way backwards. So the first thing is, what is the end result that your students are going to get? Whether that is a transformation, they're going to create something, and then work back the steps. And I would break those up as modules, but work back on the steps that they need to take. Do that before you start planning out your intro video and what you're going to say and how you're going to like lay everything out. And then from there, when you've got your modules, then break down on all the steps that you need to take within that individual step, if that makes sense. Because I think it's so easy to focus on like the big picture, but when you actually break it down and then you break down those steps even more, it's just easier. And then you know what you need to film, what content you need to fill.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, as your work has gone on to do, I know you've been featured in Entrepreneur, The HuffPost, Smart Passive Income, and a lot of places. And so taking these concepts that you're talking about and seeing how they can grow, and then how you start to get attention as these things grow. And so give us a little glimpse about what it was like getting momentum. So there you were talking to people, you saw that there was this need, WordPress was complicated, you built this course, you tracked your goals. How did that start to gain momentum, and what do you think was the secret behind that and the success that you've had?
So I think it was two things, really. The first thing is, I was very much in a bunch of different groups, like entrepreneurial groups in Facebook, and I was constantly giving answers to questions that people had about websites and WordPress. I was posting things pure value. There was no pitch. There was no sneaky, you know, post where people write and it looks like they're trying to give value, and then there's actually like a opt-in at the end of it. And then I think that really helped, just being known as, I started getting people are like, oh, you're that girl in the pink dress that helps people with websites. So I kind of like took that tagline. I was like, yeah, I guess so. That was the first thing, was just those people were very much my target market. And so I just put myself in front of them so they could see, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how I can help. I don't need anything from you now, but just know I'm here. This is what I do. I think the second thing for momentum, I think the biggest thing was, I reached out to, I'm not sure, do you know Carrie Green from the Female Entrepreneur Association?
Yeah, totally.
She, I don't know what it is about her, but she is the most genuinely caring person. And I had reached out to her well before I created my course. And I said, hey, look, I'm not a big name yet, but I would love to feature you as like a guest speaker on my course to give people value. I did not in a million years think that she would reach back. And within a couple of hours, she's like, love to, how can we get this set up? And so that was the beginning of, I think, our relationship. And that's a big thing, is making relationships with people. And then I think it was a good few months after I launched my course, maybe almost a year, I reached out to her being like, hey, you know, if you ever need someone to do like a 10-minute masterclass, which she has on her site, you know, I'd love to share my tips if you think that would be a good fit. And again, I don't know why, but she's just like, yeah, Jez, awesome, come on board. And I did that interview not expecting very much from it. I didn't know. I was so nervous. I'm so thankful for her editing team because they did a good job cutting it. But it went out, and I didn't know that it had been released, but all of a sudden my email inbox was just flooded with emails. And I didn't understand what was going on, and I finally saw that she'd released the interview. And I think that was the big pivotal point where I went from, you know, I was still making money from my course and it was sustainable, but that really took it to the next level, was getting in front of her audience and just, I think, her just being so supportive in that way as well.
Yeah, I love it. You know, and I love that what you're highlighting. It's like, if you don't know the people that can necessarily help you, then do the research and find them and don't be afraid to reach out. And that's in a lot of ways like how we connected is because you sent me a really cool Facebook video and it was like amazing. And I was like, who is this girl? So such good stuff for those that are listening. So tell us a little bit about websites, you know, our last little bit before we move into the rapid fire round. But what do you think, you know, goes into a good website, or for those that are listening that are looking to get more conversion or looking to get more impact, use really, out of their website, what would you say are some of the common things you see that people are doing wrong or not as well as they could? And what are some of the tips that you might recommend?
Okay, so there's two things. I think the first thing is your branding and creating consistency for your design. And this is something that, and I really, like, it's such a shame, but people make have very strong first impressions on your site. And the way that your site looks and the impression that you give can actually determine how much money people are going to want to pay for your services. Even, and this really, it's really a shame because I'm going through sites, I'm into web design, so I read the content. I go through to see what people are actually offering. And so many times, Jules, I see sites with content that is just, is by far, compared to some of maybe the bigger people in their industry, it is incredible. There's so much good content, but their design doesn't reflect that. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't going to take the time to scroll through to see everything that they're doing. So the biggest thing that you can do with that is getting very clear on the colors that you're going to use on your site. What I say is choose maybe 1 to 2 focus colors. So those are the colors that are the most prominent. So for you, I would guess it'd be like a teal or a blue. and then choose like 2 to 3 complementing colors. So these are colors, the reason why I call them complementing is they should complement your focus colors. They shouldn't compete for attention. They shouldn't be everywhere as well. That can be make a big difference. Don't be afraid of white space. A lot of us think we need to fill our pages with a lot of stuff. White space does amazing things for getting your message across. And then I would say is creating a mood board. I think you've done this as well. And a mood board really is just a visual representation for your brand. It's the feeling that you want people to have when they look at your site and everything that you do. I recommend, you know, going on Pinterest, creating a board. And another good thing about doing this mood board is that it gets you very clear on what it is that you want to show. When I first started, the people in my course, I always show them like the older version of my site before I took my own advice and actually did a mood board. So it's just trying to get it out quick. It creates this consistency. When people see it, like, so let's say you think that you really like Marie Forleo, as an example. I think a lot of female entrepreneurs are into that. And you start creating your site without a mood board. A lot of the time we start seeing that our site just becomes another version of a Marie Forleo site. It lacks our personality. It lacks that unique thing that people are like, you know, I don't know what it is about our site, but I really like it. Or I'm really drawn, or I really resonate with it. So when you create a mood board, all of a sudden you start to see this pattern of things that seem to come up over and over again. Fonts, different like textures, like gold foil as an example. So that's a big thing. And then the last one I would say is, this is just a very quick tip, no matter where you are on your site, have a short description above the page fold of what it is that you do and how you can help people. Doesn't need to be a long paragraph. So on my site, it's just websites made easy. even though I'm standing there with a laptop and I think it's pretty obvious, never assume. And it just shows that when your people go onto your site, they will know either one, they're in the right place. If not, they'll leave. But you know that you've got the people that you want to attract in the right place, and they're going to continue to scroll.
Yeah, so good. And I will also second the mood board thing. So I actually build websites and have built like the Unconventional Life Show, the Jewel Schroeder, Create You, and all the different ones. And it's funny because I've actually paid designers to do them and I've ended up hating it. And then I ended up doing it myself. But Pinterest is fabulous. And so for those that are listening, if you've never used Pinterest, it's super easy. And I actually hadn't gone on Pinterest until about a year ago. But yeah, there's so many easy, like searchable things to put on into that board. And I'd be curious for those that are listening that maybe don't know websites. And I know obviously your course, DIY Website Academy, which you're giving away a free copy of. So we'll share about that for the giveaway in a few moments. But what would you recommend for someone that doesn't have much of a budget that is like, all right, Jess, totally tracking with you. I get websites are important. What do you think is a good place for them to start, or how do they kind of even get started into putting anything out there?
What I would say is, so I recommend WordPress for everyone that's getting started. And it's really, once you know the steps to take, it's not as difficult as I experienced it personally. And I know a lot of people are very hesitant when they hear WordPress. They're like, oh, that's like too complicated. But it's really, once you understand the steps, it's so user-friendly. It's so intuitive. This is a self-hosted version, so one where you get your own hosting. And what I would say is just get your hosting account and install WordPress. I'm going to be releasing like a free, I've got a free mini series as well. But you can even just go on YouTube as well just to see how you do that. But I think that's a great starting point, because when you see your site, even though it's not up, you don't have the content, but just seeing that you have a domain name and your website is up and functioning, that can be just very encouraging, and it's going to make you feel more motivated to take the next steps. So look into WordPress, and if you're looking like hosting company, Bluehost is a good one, but there's loads of other ones as well.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome. So let's transition into the last part of our show, the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
I am ready.
So good. Okay, question number one. What is the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, good one. I would say don't use your face or your name for your business. So don't be the face of your business, which I obviously didn't listen to.
Awesome. Next question. What is one thing that you feel like held you back a lot throughout your entrepreneurial journey, and what did you have to do to overcome it?
The comfort of, I kind of said this before, but the comfort of dreaming of ideas and then having to actually take action. I loved coming up with ideas. I would spend hours when I was working corporate, spend hours coming up with the best business, million-dollar ideas, in fact. And I, looking back, there was a very much a comfort in talking a lot and thinking of these things versus actually just going for something and just taking action.
Yeah, I love it. Next question. How do you gauge on a daily basis that you're living in alignment or that you're walking the path that you feel you're destined to walk? How do you self-check that?
For me, I think the biggest thing is just how I feel. I know that seems very like simplistic, but I know, especially when I'm working on a project that has a very definite end goal, if I'm not enjoying the journey, like regardless of the outcome of if it works or if it doesn't, if I'm not enjoying that journey, I know that there's something that's off and I need to not necessarily stop what I'm doing, but I really need to assess the steps that I'm taking, maybe the environment that I'm working in. That is the biggest thing.
Yeah, awesome. Next question. If you could go back in time and say something to your 20-year-old self, what would you say to her? What advice would you give her?
Ooh, that you are enough just the way that you are.
Awesome. And last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
It means trusting your gut or your intuition and doing whatever it is that you know that you're meant to do, and just going for it 100%.
Awesome. So good. Jess Couture, everyone. Jess, tell us a little bit about the giveaway. For all that are listening or anyone that are new tuning in, every episode we give this awesome giveaway to one of our listeners. You just head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to enter. But tell us about the DIY Website Academy. Tell us about the giveaway.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. So the giveaway is full entry into my my flagship course, the DIY Website Academy. And what it is it takes you from having nothing, so no website, you don't need to be a web designer or have any previous experience. And I walk you through the steps that you need to take to create your site. Within that, though, what we go through is what I kind of talked about with branding and design. So how do you create a consistent brand? How do you create the graphics and the different elements on your site? And then we also cover something that I think a lot of people should really pay attention to, which is the security of your site. So how do you really best protect yourself against hackers? Just a quick tip for anyone that's listening, regardless if you do the course or not, back up your site regularly. That has been the biggest thing. So we go through all of that. And by the end of it, you will have your site launched. You'll have your blog posts ready to go. And yeah, it's just a really fun experience for entrepreneurs. So it's not for anyone that wants to be a designer or coder. It's very simple.
Yeah, I love it. And how long? I know it's a pretty effective, straight implementation course. How long is the course and how long does it take?
Yeah, so it's 8 modules. Most of my students have done it within 2 to 3 weeks. It just depends on, it's more so on the design side, how long you want to take building different elements and what you want to do with it. So 2 to 3 weeks is on average when people like finish the course and they get their site launched.
Yeah, I love it. So for all of you that are being held back by a website, literally go to unconventionallifeshow.com and enter, or where else can they learn about the course if they want to go ahead and just grab the course right now?
Yeah, well, I actually have a free video series, and it just kind of goes through, even regardless if you sign up or not, it goes through my top tips for what tools you need to use, if you should DIY your website, and also I go through like a homepage formula, so how you should set up your homepage, the elements that you need. They can just go to DIYWebsiteAcademy.com or just JessCouture.com.
Amazing. And Jess, for anyone that wants to connect with you or stay in touch, I know you've given those website resources, but how else can they connect with you?
My website, or you can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/JessCouture. Very original. That's probably the best way.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Unconventional Life Tribe, thanks for tuning in. Another fabulous chat and episode. We will talk to you all next time. Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, Rose.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.